Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur commences from the fifth line from the top of Daf Mem Zayin. A quote from the Mishnah: She'ein hamachshava hoyleches elo achar ha'oyveit. When we talk about improper thoughts that can affect a korban, the Mishnah declares that those thoughts will ruin the korban only if they're expressed by the one servicing or processing the korban, in the case, but as opposed to the owner. In other words, if you have a kohen who is doing the avodos, and the owner is standing by the side, the owner's machshava, even if it's a correct machshava, will not undo the Kohen's incorrect machshavas. Masnisin delo ki hai tana. Our Mishnah that says that machshava ruins only if it's the machshava of the Oved, but the machshava of the Bailam would not be able to ruin the Korban. This is not like the following tana, the Sanya. Omer Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, Shamati Sha'abaylim Mefaglim. Rabbi Elazar says that I have a tradition, I've heard, that the owner, if he expresses his pigal thoughts, that can also ruin the korban. Omer Rava, my time of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, what's the basis for his opinion? The Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, V'hikriv Hamakriv. Let's take a look at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. V'hikriv hamakriv, the first narrow line, Rashi says, hamakriv korbano, b'parshas nesochim ksiv. V'hikriv hamakriv korbano l'ashem. In the parsha of the Torah dealing with the wine offerings, this is the pasuk that appears. Amo, we see from here, bailim kori lei makriv, that the owner is called the makriv, even though the owner is not the one who is offering the wine offering on the Mizbeach. Only a Kohen is entitled to do that. Nevertheless, the owner is referred to as the makriv, the one offering it. Hilkach havu lehu, therefore the Bailim would be included in Bichlal, included in that which it says in another Pasuk, hamakriv lo yechoshev, which is the Pasuk that's the source for incorrect thoughts. So the term hamakriv is a reference to the Bailam as well, and we see that his thoughts could ruin the korban. Omar Abaye. Abaye presents a list of tanoim that are of all similar of a similar mindset, we'll say, in that the owner can think something and someone else is doing the actual korban process, and yet the owner's thoughts have bearing. Now, the expression that the Gemara uses here is that Abaye says that they're all of a similar mindset. It might be worth pointing out that when we see the three rabbinic, the Tanaic opinions, they're not all talking about korbanos. But it's an issue of an application of their ideas to the area of korbanos. Let us see in the Gemara what we are talking about. Omar Abaye, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, Kulu Sviro Lahu. They are all of the opinion, Zeh Mechashev, V'zeh Oved, Havyo Machshava, where one has the thoughts, that would be, let's say, the owner, v'zeh oved, and someone else is processing the korban, havya machshava, the owner's thoughts, have a bearing. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi, ha d'amoran. We saw his opinion stated in the Tanaic source, just a few lines up. That's where he said, shamati sha'abaylim mefaglim. In order to find the source that we're referring to, we've provided little arrows into the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi. If you just skim up a few lines, you'll see a parallel arrow. Number two, Rabbi Eliezer, Desnan. Rabbi Eliezer, his opinion will be seen in the following Tanaic source. There are two opinions. His is the second opinion. Hashochei le'oived kechavim. A person who slaughters an animal on behalf of a Gentile. Shchita so kshera. The shchita is acceptable. V'Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer says that even though a Jew is doing the shchita is the slaughtering, it is nevertheless considered unkosher. Now, why should that be? The answer to that is because the owner, in this case, a Gentile, stam machsheves akum lavoda zora. That means that a Gentile, one can assume on an unqualified basis, his machshava, his thoughts are for the idol. So that when the Jew is shechting, is slaughtering his animal, the owner is thinking that the slaughtering is for the sake of his deity, of the owner's deity. So the owner's thoughts affect someone else's actions, so to speak. That's the idea of ze mechashev v'ze oved. One person is having the thoughts. In case when we speak about the one person, we're talking about the owner has the thoughts, and in this case the owner is the Gentile, and the Jew is doing the actual action, and yet the animal is, the shechita is ruined. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Disnan. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is in a totally different realm. This is from Masechet Shabbos, and in the realm of Hilchos Shabbos, one knows that there is a prohibition of carrying items from one domain to another, from a private domain into a public domain, from what's known as from carrying from a Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid. We're not going to get into the details right now of Dine Hotzah, as they are referred to. But rather, when we talk about carrying an item, what kind of item is prohibited from carrying from one domain into another? So it has to be an item that has some significance to it. Therefore, if in general, if a person would carry a twig, a little piece of wood that's so small that, let us say, you would light it and use it as fuel, it would be such a small quantity, such a small piece of wood, that you wouldn't even be able to cook up a chicken's egg with it. In other words, a very small amount of firewood, a little twig. Since it is so small, it lacks the minimum dimension, the minimum size that constitutes significance, it would not be considered a violation of the Torah prohibition of carrying from one domain to another. Let us say, though, that someone takes this twig and he assigns to it a personal importance. In other words, it's a twig that, let's say, he likes the shape of it, or he likes the color of it, and he puts it away. He's matznia it. He would save it. He would preserve it. He thereby imparts significance to an item that, to anyone else who doesn't see the beauty of this twig as he does, he assigns it a personal importance to it that to anyone else would have no significance. In such a case, if the owner of this twig were to carry it out from a house into a public thoroughfare, from a Rishus HaYochanan to Rishus HaRabim, he would be violating Dinei Hotza. The question comes up, what happens if someone else carries out this man's twig? As far as the someone else is concerned, the twig has no significance. However, the owner of the twig assigned to it significance. Let's see the source. Klal Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer. Kol she'ein kosher lahatznia, v'ein matznian kamohu. An item that is ein kosher lahatznia, it's not fit for being put away, and people don't put things like that away. Huchshe lozer behitznio, but for someone, this seemingly insignificant item was assigned importance. Uvo achir vahotzio, and someone else who didn't assign it this importance came and carried out the item that the previous person or the owner had assigned importance to. To me, though, it's of no significance. I then go and carry it out on Shabbos. Nischayev ze b'machshava shel ze. I, who don't view it as having any significance, nevertheless will be considered in violation of Hilchos Shabbos by virtue of the significance that someone else assigned to it. What do you see here? You see that someone else's machshava affects what I am doing. So if you have a good imagination, you can see the application of this Hilchos Shabbos case to what we've been discussing before of ze mechashev veze oved. Someone else's machshava affects what I am doing. Travayu is lehu de Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Yossi. Travayu is a reference to examples 2 and 3, Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Shimon Elozer. Rebbe Eliezer spoke about the case of shechting for a Gentile. Rebbe Shimon ben Elozer spoke about the Hilchos Shabbos hoitzah halacha. They both hold from Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Yossi's halacha, which was the topic of the bailim mefaglim, the owner, his machshavas pigul can ruin the korban that's being worked on by being processed by someone else. And the logic here is as follows: we're saying that 2 and 3 will agree with 1. Hashto b'chutz amrinon, mind you, outside the Beis Hamikdash, where things are a little less severe, they're less delicate, if you will, less sensitive, and yet we do apply this concept of ze mechashev veze oved, where someone else can become bound by virtue of someone else's thoughts. If that is true outside the Beis HaMikdash, Bifnim Ibaya, would I need to tell you about that being the case inside, in the Beis HaMikdash? Rashi adds another element to this analysis, or to this explanation. Rashi says, Hashto Bachutz. Rashi, you can see, is just a couple lines up from here. Ba'avodas kechovim Shabbos, which are outside the Beis HaMikdash. Delok siva behu machshava behedya. Halachas of machshava are not stated explicitly. Amrinon, and yet we say ze mechashev veze oise, havi machshava, where one has the thoughts and someone else does the actions. The first one's thoughts have an effect. Bifnim, bekorbonos, bifnim is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash with regard to sacrifices. De machshava behu ksiva, where machshava is written. We said above, we saw that Pasuk cited Lo Yechoshev. We saw that in the Rashi, Hamakriv Lo Yechoshev. So we saw Machshava is written explicitly in the realm of Korbanos Mibaya. Do I need to tell you that it will be of significance, that the other one's Machshava will be of significance? That's obvious. The Gemara continues, Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Yossi, however, the first opinion, less lehu the travayu. He does not necessarily accept the rulings of Rebbe Elozer and Rebbe Shimon Elozer. Dilma bifnim hu daminan. It could be that only in the Beis HaMikdash do we say that someone else's machshava that can affect my actions, that the owner's machshavas pigol can affect the korban that's being processed by someone else. And the reason for that is maybe only bifnim, because it's there that the Torah writes this concept of machshava, bachutz lo amrinan, but outside, like in Avodah Zorah or Shabbos, not so. Number three is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He spoke about the Shabbos halacha. He says that there, machshava of one affects the actions of another. Is lay the Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who spoke about Shabbos, will hold from Rabbi Eliezer, who spoke about shochet, slaughtering for a Gentile. Hashto b'Shabbos amrinon. If I'm willing to say this concept of machshava of one affecting the actions of another with regard to Shabbos, then certainly in the case of Avodah Zorah. The Rashi explains as follows. Rashi says, the Torah compares actions done to service is done to an idol are compared in the Torah to Beis Hamikdash activities. And we already saw that the source of Machshava is written in the case of Beis Hamikdash. And since service to an idol is compared by the Torah to Beis Hamikdash, so the concept of Machshava is closely related to Avodah Zarah. Now, if you're willing to tell me that in a realm that's not related, yet machshava of someone else has bearing, then certainly in a realm that is related to the Beis Hamikdash, machshava will have bearing. However, Rabbi Eliezer, who was the number two example, the shochet for a Gentile, he will less lay the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He will not hold from Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's stringency with regard to Shabbos. Dilma b'avodas chovim hu the amris. Maybe by avodah zarah, by idolatry, we say this idea ke'ein panim, in so far as avodah zarah is paralleled or compared to actions done in the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi cites the pasuk that indicates this. Rashi says, cites the pasuk of Zoveach lelukim yecharam bilti lashem. Let's read that again. Zoveach lelukim yecharam bilti lashem levado. That one who slaughters, offers sacrifices to idols will be yecharam, will be, let's say, deserving of death, if other than one who offers to God himself. So we see this idea of, or this contrast between idolatry and service of the Almighty juxtaposed in the same pasuk. So that's what this means here, that avodas kechavim is ke'ein panim. Avol Shabbos, the Gemara says, but with regard to Shabbos, I'm not going to go so far as to say that someone else's thoughts affect my actions. Meleches machsheves osra Torah. Meleches machsheves is a very important expression that appears in as the heart of defining prohibited activities on Shabbos. Let's take a look at Rashi. Meleches machsheves osra Torah. Shenismecha. The halachas of Shabbos, or the shenismecha Shabbos leparshas haMishkan, the vayakel, the citation of Shabbos is placed next to the construction of the Mishkan in Sefer Shmos in Parshas Vayakel. Umeleches machsheves she'oisa miskavein lemelacha gmura. When it comes to the construction of the Mishkan, the activities there were not happenstance, but they were planned out, important, significant activities. And when it comes to Shabbos, a person would have to have intention to do a melacha gemura, a complete, significant act. And as far as his being considered in violation of Shabbos, elo sheshogag b'Shabbos, he simply forgot it was Shabbos. But the action that he was doing was a fully planned out significant action. Oh, Savor or Shemalocha Zu Muteres. or he thought that this planned out significant activity was something that was not culpable on Shabbos. Either way, those are the cases of shogeg that would bring a korban in the event that he violates Shabbos. Once again, what is his situation? He is doing a significant planned out action. Why is it that he brings a korban? That's because he forgot it's Shabbos, or he thought that this carefully planned out significant action is not bound, is not prohibited on Shabbos. However, v'zeh, the case we saw above, she'ein shi'ur zeh choshuv be'einov, the fellow was carrying out the twig that only someone else thought was beautiful and significant, but I don't think it's significant. Eino miskavein lemelacha. He has no intention of doing a significant act. The act of carrying out something so insignificant does not come under the realm, under the heading of meleches machsheves, a planned out significant action. And therefore, though someone may hold, in the case of Hashochid Avodah Zorah, Hashochid Obed Kichavim, one who slaughters for a goy, the shechita is ruined because of the Gentiles' machshavas affecting my actions. Nevertheless, when it comes to Shabbos, the fact that someone else assigns significance to this item will not make me guilty of carrying that item out. We now begin the fifth perek of Zvachim. Eizehu mekoimon shel Zvachim. What is the place, the location of processing sacrifices? Kotshe kotshim shritasim batzafon. The Mishnah opens up with a general comment of the high-level holy sacrifices. Kotshim is an expression that's used in contrast with the expression kotshim kalim, lower-level sanctity sacrifices. So the kotshim, the high-level sanctity sacrifices, shchitasim batzafon, their slaughtering is to be done in the northern half of the Azara. The Mishnah goes on, and we've underlined the examples. The Mishnah goes on to list off examples of kotshe kotshim, so that the structure of this Mishnah is essentially to state a headline or a title, and then go on to state specific examples of kotshe kotshim and where they are processed. This entire perek is dedicated to describing the location of different korbanos and other significant details regarding those korbanos. So in the first Mishnah, we will be describing the Par v'Soyer Shel Makipurim, and you can see underlined, we have a little bit later, Par Menisrafim v'Soyer Menisrafim. And as you go on, in the Mishnayos, other Kotshe Kotshim will be featured, until we then lapse into the realm of Kotshim Kalim, as one can see in Mishnayos further into the Perek. It might be worthwhile, as we would always recommend, even though we don't mention it too often in the context of our Shiurim, but to learn first all of the Mishnayos of any given Masechet, and while you're learning the Masechet itself, to constantly review the Mishnayos of each perek by perek, and certainly any Mishnayos that one sees on a daily basis, one should learn them before listening to the Shiur. It's also noteworthy that this perek appears in the Siddur as part of the early morning, Shacharis davening, the Shacharis prayer service. So our Mishnah goes on, Par v'so'ir shel yom ha-kippurim, the cow offering brought by the Kohen Gadol and the goat offering that's brought on behalf of the general population on Yom Kippur. These are examples of kotshe kotshim, shchitasan batzafon, the kibul domon, the kli shares batzafon. They're slaughtered in the northern half of the Azara. Their blood is received in a service vessel, in a kli shares, also in the northern half of the Azara. V'domon to'un hazoya al bein habadim. The Mishnah mentions where the blood is sprinkled. So the blood of these two korbanos, the par and soy of Yom Kippurim, is sprinkled in several places between the poles. That's bein habadim of the holy ark of the Oron HaKodesh in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Here you see that we don't see it in the Mishnah, but the term Kodesh HaKodoshim applies to the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash. We have the term Kodshei Kodshim referring to high level sacrifices, and the term Kodesh HaKodoshim referring to the inner sanctum of the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a blood sprinkling of these two korbanos between the poles of the Oron HaKodesh, the Al HaParoches, and on the curtain, while the Kohen Gadol is standing in the Heichal, in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, not in the innermost sanctum, but in the area that's part of the Heichal, containing the menorah, the golden candelabra, the menorah, and the golden altar, the Mizbeach HaZov, and the Shulchan Lechem Aponim. He stands in that area and faces the curtain that separates the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kodashim, the Parochas, and sprinkles the blood in that direction. V'al Mizbeach HaZov, there's a blood sprinkling on the golden altar as well, which is a topic that has been discussed in previous dapim of this Maseches. Matona Achas Me'en Ma'akeves, if one misses even one of these Matnos Dam, if you add up all of the Matnos Dam, you'll see that if you combine the number of Matnos Dam of the Par and the Soyer, you'll get to a number numbering at least 43 individual sprinklings between the two and on these two sacrifices. If you miss even one of them, so you have not processed the korban properly. Shiorei Hadom hoyeshoifich al yisoid marovi shel mizbeach achitzon. The remaining blood, after you finish these sprinklings that we just took note of, the remaining blood is to be poured out at the base, on the base of the outside Mizbech, the Mizbech that sits in the Azor, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, on the western side of the Mizbech, on the western side, the base that's on the western side, the Imloi Nosan Lo Ikev. However, if he didn't do that, if he didn't pour out the Shirayim, then it's not considered a binding action, and he's Yotzi, fulfills his requirements anyway. Porim Hanisrafim, Usirim Hanisrafim. These are sin offerings that have their Matnas Dam, we'll see very shortly, in the Heichal also. These are fairly unusual korbanos, because outside of these, you don't have blood sprinklings in the Heichal. All other sacrifices, blood sprinklings, are done on the external, the outside Mizbeach. But these are special. These animals, the Parma Srafim, the Srim Srafim, their meat is not eaten. The carcasses are burnt entirely outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Parma Srafim includes the Par Helam Dover Shetzibon, the Par Kohen Mashiach. These are animals brought in the event that the High Court, the Sanhedrin, or the Kohen Gadol issue an erroneous legal ruling and act thereupon. And in the case of the Sanhedrin, where the public acts thereupon. Sirim HaNisrafim is a situation where the public had been in violation of Avodah Zorah. And this is a situation where the public violated Avodah Zorah. Rashi points out the Sirim Avodah Zorahim are compared to the Par Helam Davar. And they too have the same characteristics. So, reading in the Mishnah, Parim HaNisrafim Usirim HaNisrafim, Shchitoson Batsofon, V'kibul Domon B'kli Shoreis Batsofon, V'domon Ton Hazoy Al HaParoches, V'al Mizbeach HaZohov, Matono Achas Mehen Me'akeves. So far, all of these things we've seen before with regard to the Par V'Sur Shom Kippurim. Of course, the Parim HaNisrafim Usirim HaNisrafim do not have Matnas Dam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shiorei Hadom hayashoifich hayisoid marovi shel mizbeach achitzon v'im lo nosan lo ikev. Elu v'elu, the par Yom HaKippurim, and the Parvasur of Yom Kippur and the other Purim HaNisrofim, Sir HaNisrofim, Nisrofin Abeis HaDeshen. They are burnt at the site of the ashes. The Beis HaDeshen is a location that the ashes of the central Mizbeach, the courtyard Mizbeach, were brought to outside. The ashes were collected and brought to a point outside of the Beis HaMikdash, entirely outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's to that location that these carcasses were brought as well and burnt there. The Gemara opens up with a question regarding the opening of the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned as its title, if you will, Kotshe Kotshim Shchitasam Batsafon. But at that point in the Mishnah, it didn't make any reference to the receipt of the blood of Kotshe Kotshim also being done in the Tzafon. When you get into the details of the Mishnah, you saw that there was reference to the receipt of the dam in a service vessel in the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Azorah. Why is it, though, that in the title, this was not added? The Nisni Nami state also in the opening of the Mishnah, in the Resha, where the Mishnah made reference to all Kotshe Kotshim, state the following, the Kibul Daman, the Klishares Batsafon. Why not say that their blood is received in a service vessel in the northern half of the Azora? The Gemara answers, the reason that this was not stated as part of the general remark covering all Kotshe Kotshim is because within the realm of Kotshe Kotshim, there happens to be something that's a bit exceptional with regard to receipt of the blood in a service vessel. Kevon de'ika osham mitzora. Since there is the example of a Kotshe Kotshim sacrifice known as the osham mitzora, the osham sacrifice that is brought by a mitzora when he is achieving his purification, the kibol domoi biyadhu shairei. The receipt of the blood of this animal, of this sacrifice, is actually directly into the hands of the Kohen, who is going to then subsequently apply the blood to the thumbs of the Mitzora. So, as a result of this uniqueness or difference, it would have been inaccurate to say that all Kotshe Kotshim, which would have included the Osha Mitzora, that the receipt of their blood is in a klishores in the Tzafon. Because in the case of the Osha Mitzora, the receipt of part of the blood was in the hands of the Kohen. And therefore, Shirei, it was left out. The Gemara asks, Veloi, is that really so? V'hokatoni lo lekamon. But this in fact is taught later on in the Mishnah, later in one of the subsequent Mishnayos. Osham Nazir v'Osham Mitzora, Shchitasan Batsafon v'Kibul Daman v'Kli Shoreis Batsafon. Lo and behold, in this source, if you focus on that which has been dashed, underlined, you see Osham Mitzora, the very korban that we're explaining right now is the reason for Kibul Daman v'Kli Shoreis Batsafon not being mentioned, is in fact mentioned in the Mishnah later on, where it says the Osher Mitzora blood was received in a Klisharis in the north. So the question then comes back, why is the receipt of the blood in a service vessel in the north not mentioned in the opening remark of our Mishnah? The Gemara answers, Meikora Sovar Kibul Domo Biyadhu Shirei. Initially, the Tana felt, the author of the Mishnayos felt, that the receipt of the blood of the Osha Mitzora was in the hand of the Kohen, and therefore he left it out, since it doesn't conform to the characteristics of other Kotshe Kotshim, whose receipt of blood is in a vessel. The Kevon delo sagi lei ela bikli. However, since it was we'll say it was realized that it's not sufficient to receive the blood in the hand alone, but rather a kli, a vessel, is also necessary. And in fact, two kohanim are required for the receipt of the blood of the Asher Metzora. Therefore, Hodar Tanya was then stated in a later Mishnah. Desanya. We have a Tanaic source, and we should have mentioned this earlier today, but we've been mentioning this all the time, and you certainly have heard this in our introduction to the marking system. Tanaic sources are featured in frames so as to distinguish them, set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. So here we have a Tanaic source that describes the Kabbalah Sadam of the Asher Metzora with the appropriate psukim. The Sanya, the Lokach, the Pasuk says in the case of the Asher Metzora, the Lokach, Yochal Bakli, does he take the blood with a vessel? Talmud Lomar, Vinosan, that he applies it. And this is a reference to the application on the different parts of the Metzora. There's an application. The pasuk that is being cited is found in the Rashi, where it says, "V'loka ha'koyin midam ha'osham v'nosan al tnuch v'chulei." The koyin takes from the blood of the osham mitzor and places it on. We mentioned the thumbs, and also places it on the ear of the mitzora, on the right ear. So, in this pasuk, we have the term or the word "v'lokach" and the word "v'nosan." Ma nesino ba'atzmoy shel kohen, just like the application when it comes to applying the dam, the blood, onto the mitzora's ear, it's done with his finger. That's bi'atzmoy shel kohen, with the body of the kohen himself, meaning with his finger, and that's known because of the presence of the word etzba in the posuk. And the word etzba is found in the context of the oil application, which is part of the mitzora purification process. There, in the oil application, which actually comes after the blood application, the word etzba appears, and the blood application is learned from the halachas, the laws regarding the oil application. So just like the application of the blood is done with the kohen himself, namely his finger, af lekicha be'atzmo shel kohen, so too the receipt of the blood is through the kohen himself, meaning in the palm of his hand, he receives the blood therein. Yochol af lemizbeach kein. Is this true with regard to the osham blood, the osham mitzora blood that is sprinkled on the altar? Because in addition to the blood applications to the mitzora, it has the standard blood applications that are characteristic of all other korban oshams. So, is the blood that's to be sprinkled on the mizbeach of the korban osham also received in his hand? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, not so. Ki kachatos ha'osham hu. The osham mitzora is compared to a korban chatos, to a standard sin offering. Ma chatos tunakli, just like a korban chatos requires the receipt of its blood in a service vessel. Af osham ta'un kli. So too, the osham mitzora requires the use of a service vessel. Nimseis ata omer, as a result of everything we've said till now regarding the osham mitzora, we can conclude, osham mitzora shnei kohanim mikablam ez domo. You require two kohanim for the receipt of its blood. Echod biyad, v'echod bikli. One kohen will receive the blood in the palm of his hand, and the other will receive the blood in a service vessel. Zeh shekiblo bekli, the one who receives it in the service vessel, volo etzel mizbeach, he comes to the altar and does the sprinklings of the blood that he received in the vessel. Zeh shekiblo biyad, and the kohen that received the osher mitzora blood in his hand, volo etzel mitzora, he draws onto the mitzora in order to make the various applications to the mitzora, to his ear and to his thumbs. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.